Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I've been a land surveyor for nearly 2 decades now, and I've worked in some pretty remote areas. I've seen it all. Wild animals, unpredictable weather, and equipment failures miles from civilization. But nothing prepared me for what I encountered under that bridge in the Arizona desert. It's the kind of experience that sticks with you, gnawing at the edges of your mind, reminding you that out there, in the middle of nowhere, you're truly on your own. It was mid-July, the kind of day where the heat presses down on you like a weight and the sun seems determined to burn everything to a crisp. The Arizona desert stretched out in every direction, an endless sea of sand, rocks, and scrub brush, with nothing but the occasional cactus to break the monotony. The sky was a brilliant, cloudless blue, the kind of blue that seems to go on forever. I was assigned to survey a bridge that spanned a dry riverbed about 50 miles outside of Phoenix. It wasn't a glamorous job, but it was straightforward enough. Check the structural integrity, measure the wear and tear, and make sure it was still up to code. The bridge itself was old, probably built back in the 60s, and hadn't seen much traffic in recent years. It was isolated, far from any town or main road, which made it perfect for someone like me, who preferred working alone. I drove my truck down a dusty, narrow road that wound its way through the desert, the tires kicking up clouds of red dust in my wake. The radio crackled with static, the signal fading in and out as I got farther from civilization. I didn't mind the quiet, though. In fact, I relished it. Out here, there was nothing but the sound of the wind and the occasional cry of a hawk overhead. I reached the bridge around midday, the sun high in the sky, baking the earth below. I parked my truck on the side of the road, grabbed my gear, and started the routine inspection. The bridge looked worse for wear. Rusted metal beams, cracks in the concrete, and a layer of dust and grime that hadn't been disturbed in years. As I moved under the bridge to check the supports, I noticed something unusual. A large dumpster tucked away in the shadows beneath the structure. It was an odd sight, completely out of place in the middle of the desert. I couldn't imagine why anyone would leave a dumpster out here, especially in such a remote location. Curiosity got the better of me, and I decided to take a closer look. The dumpster was old and battered, covered in rust and graffiti. There was a faint, unpleasant odor coming from it, like something had been rotting inside for a long time. I hesitated for a moment, then carefully lifted the lid, half expecting to find nothing but old trash. What I saw instead made my blood run cold. Inside the dumpster were piles of tattered clothes, dirty blankets, and what looked like empty food containers. It was clear someone had been living here, using the dumpster as a makeshift shelter. But there was something else, something that sent a shiver down my spine. Among the debris were strange, crude drawings scratched into the metal walls. They depicted distorted faces, twisted bodies, and symbols I didn't recognize. My first thought was that some drifter had taken up residence here, someone down on their luck, using this desolate spot as a place to hide from the world. It wasn't unusual to come across homeless camps in remote areas, but this felt different, more desperate, more unhinged. I backed away from the dumpster, my heart pounding in my chest. I'd seen enough. I just wanted to finish my inspection and get out of there. I tried to shake off the unease that had settled over me, focusing on the task at hand. But as I worked, I couldn't help but glance back at the dumpster, half expecting to see someone emerging from the shadows. That's when I heard it, the sound of footsteps crunching on gravel. I froze, every muscle in my body tensing as the footsteps grew louder, closer. I scanned the area, my eyes darting from the bridge to the surrounding desert, but I didn't see anyone. The sound stopped, and for a moment there was only the wind whistling through the dry riverbed. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw movement. A figure stepped out from behind the dumpster, a man, his clothes filthy and tattered, his hair wild and matted. He was tall, gaunt, with a crazed look in his eyes. He stared at me for a moment, his expression unreadable, then began to move toward me. My heart leaped into my throat. I didn't know what this guy wanted, but I knew I didn't want to stick around to find out. I quickly backed away, trying to keep some distance between us, but he kept coming, his pace quickening with every step. "Hey," I called out, my voice shaking despite my efforts to stay calm. "I'm just doing my job here. I'll be out of your way in a minute."
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
But he didn't respond. His eyes were locked on me, and there was something in his gaze that sent a wave of fear crashing over me. Something wild, unhinged, like he was barely holding on to reality. My mind raced, trying to figure out what to do. My truck was parked a few yards away, but the man was between me and it. I didn't want to turn my back on him, but I knew I couldn't stay here. The survey, the job, none of that mattered anymore. All I cared about was getting out of there in one piece. Then he spoke, his voice low and gravelly. "This is my place," he said, his words slurred and broken. "You shouldn't be here." "I'm sorry," I said, keeping my tone as calm as I could. "I didn't know. I'll leave right now, okay?" But he didn't stop. He kept coming, his hands clenching and unclenching at his sides, his eyes wild with some emotion I couldn't read. I took another step back, my heart hammering in my chest. The distance between us was closing fast, and I knew I had to act. Without thinking, I reached for the revolver I kept holstered at my side, a precaution I always took when working in remote areas. My hand shook as I pulled it out and aimed it at the man, my finger hovering over the trigger. "Stop!" I shouted, my voice breaking. "Don't come any closer!" The man froze, his eyes widening as he saw the gun. For a moment I thought he might back down, that he might realize the situation had gone too far. But then he did something I didn't expect. He smiled, a twisted, eerie grin that sent chills down my spine. "You think that's gonna help you?" he sneered, taking another step forward. "Out here, you're just as alone as I am." I didn't wait to find out what he meant by that. I fired a warning shot into the ground at his feet, the sound echoing through the empty desert. The man flinched, but he didn't stop. He kept coming, his smile widening, his eyes gleaming with some dark intent. Panic surged through me. I knew I couldn't take my eyes off him, but I also knew I couldn't stay here. I took a deep breath, steeled myself, and made a break for it. I sprinted toward my truck, not daring to look back, my heart pounding in my ears. I reached the truck, yanked the door open, and threw myself inside. My hands fumbled with the keys, but I finally managed to start the engine. As I slammed the door shut, I caught one last glimpse of the man standing by the dumpster, watching me with that same eerie smile. I floored the gas pedal and sped down the dusty road, the tires kicking up clouds of sand behind me. I didn't stop until I was miles away, the bridge nothing but a distant memory in the rearview mirror. I never went back to that site. I reported the incident to my supervisor, who sent someone else to finish the job. I don't know what happened to the man under the bridge, and I don't want to know. All I know is that I came too close to something dark, something that could have ended very differently. Even now, I still think about that day. I still see the man's face, that twisted smile, in my nightmares. And every time I find myself in a remote area, I can't help but look over my shoulder, half expecting to see him standing there, waiting, watching. The experience under that bridge taught me a lesson I'll never forget. When you're alone in the middle of nowhere, you're vulnerable in ways you can't imagine. The isolation, the emptiness, it plays tricks on your mind, makes you question what's real and what isn't. And sometimes you encounter things that remind you just how thin the line between safety and danger really is. So if you ever find yourself in the middle of nowhere, remember this story. Stay aware, stay cautious, and most importantly, stay safe, because out there, you're on your own, and you never know what might be lurking just out of sight. I've stayed in all kinds of motels over the years, from the cozy and charming to the rundown and questionable. But there's one motel that I stayed at a few years ago that I'll never forget. It was a small, isolated place off a lonely stretch of highway in the middle of nowhere. I didn't plan on stopping there, but after driving for hours with no sign of civilization, I didn't have much choice. I just needed a place to rest for the night. What I found instead was a nightmare that still haunts me. I'd been driving for hours, trying to make it to the next town before calling it a night. But the road seemed to stretch on forever, winding through miles of empty fields and forests. The headlights of my car barely cut through the blackness, the occasional signpost or abandoned barn the only indication that I was still on the right path. When I finally saw the flickering neon sign for the motel, I felt a wave of relief. It wasn't much, a small, single-story building with a handful of rooms, a few old cars parked out front, and a faded sign that read "Vacancy" in dim, sputtering letters. The place looked like it hadn't been updated in decades, the paint peeling off the walls, the windows grimy and cracked. But I was too tired to care. I just needed a place to sleep, somewhere to rest my head before continuing my journey in the morning. I pulled into the gravel lot, the tires crunching under the car as I parked. The air was cold, the sky overcast, and a faint mist hung in the air, clinging to everything like a damp shroud. The only light came from the neon sign and a single bulb above the motel's entrance, casting an eerie yellow glow on the worn-out pavement. I grabbed my bag and headed inside, the door creaking on its hinges as I pushed it open. The lobby was small and dingy, with faded wallpaper and a few outdated brochures scattered on a dusty counter. Behind the counter sat an old man, his eyes barely visible behind thick, smudged glasses. He looked up as I entered, his expression blank, almost indifferent. "Need a room," I said, trying to sound more confident than I felt. The old man didn't say anything at first, just stared at me for a long moment before nodding slowly. He reached under the counter and pulled out a worn, leather-bound ledger, flipping it open to a blank page. His hands shook slightly as he handed me a pen. "Sign here," he muttered, his voice gravelly and low. I scribbled my name in the ledger and handed it back to him. He didn't even glance at it, just shoved it aside and reached for a key hanging on a hook behind the counter. "Room 6," he said, sliding the key across the counter. "No smoking, no pets." "Got it," I replied, taking the key. "Thanks." He didn't respond, just stared at me with that same blank expression as I turned and headed back outside. Room 6 was at the far end of the building, next to a thick line of trees that bordered the property. The door was old and chipped, the number barely visible, but the key turned easily enough in the lock. The room inside was about what I expected, small, with a sagging bed, a rickety dresser, and a tiny TV mounted on the wall. The carpet was stained, the wallpaper peeling, and the whole place smelled faintly of mildew. But it was warm, and after the long drive, it was enough. I tossed my bag on the bed and sat down, the mattress creaking under my weight. I grabbed the remote and flicked on the TV, but all I got was static. Sighing, I turned it off and glanced around the room, noticing a small door to the side that I assumed led to the bathroom. I walked over and pushed it open, revealing a cramped, outdated bathroom with a cracked mirror and a flickering overhead light. After freshening up, I changed into some sweats and crawled into bed, pulling the thin blankets up to my chin. The room was eerily quiet, the only sound the distant hum of the highway. I turned off the lamp beside the bed and closed my eyes, trying to let the exhaustion of the day take over. But sleep didn't come easily. The darkness felt oppressive, the silence too complete, as if the world outside the room had ceased to exist. I tossed and turned, trying to get comfortable, but an uneasy feeling gnawed at the back of my mind. Something about the motel, about the old man behind the counter, about the whole place, felt wrong. Just as I was starting to drift off, I heard a soft, almost imperceptible sound coming from outside the room. It was a faint noise, like something gently tapping against the door. My heart skipped a beat, and I sat up in bed, straining to listen. I told myself it was just the wind, maybe a branch from one of the nearby trees brushing against the door, but the sound was too deliberate, too steady. It wasn't random, it was intentional. I felt a chill run down my spine and my hands shook as I reached for the lamp. The light flickered on. I stared at the door, my heart pounding in my chest, the sound still echoing in my ears. I didn't want to get up, didn't want to see what was causing the noise, but I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep until I did. Slowly, I swung my legs over the side of the bed, my feet hitting the cold floor. I crept toward the door, my breath shallow, every nerve in my body screaming at me to stop, to turn back. But I didn't. I reached the door and placed my hand on the cold doorknob, hesitating for just a moment before turning it and pulling the door open. The night air rushed in, cold and damp, but there was nothing there, just the empty parking lot, the gravel gleaming faintly in the light of the distant neon sign. I stepped outside, the gravel crunching under my feet, and looked around. The mist hung low to the ground, making everything look ghostly, unreal. There was no one there. No sign of anything or anyone that could have made the sound. I shook my head, trying to shake off the unease. Maybe it really was just the wind, or maybe I was more tired than I realized. I was about to turn back to the room when I noticed something. A single footprint in the gravel, just a few feet from the door. It wasn't mine. The print was large, the outline clear in the mist-covered gravel, and it led away from the room, disappearing into the line of trees at the edge of the property. My heart skipped a beat, and I quickly retreated back into the room, slamming the door behind me and locking it tight. I pressed my back against the door, my mind racing. Someone had been out there, standing just outside my room. But where had they gone? And why were they just standing there, tapping on the door? I tried to calm myself down, telling myself it was just some weirdo messing around, maybe one of the other guests playing a prank. But deep down, I knew that wasn't it. There was something off about the whole situation, something that made my skin crawl. I crawled back into bed, pulling the blankets up to my chin, but there was no way I was going to sleep now. I lay there in the dark, staring at the door. The hours seemed to stretch on forever, the silence in the room thick and suffocating. Then, just as I was starting to think I'd imagined the whole thing, I heard it again. This time, it was coming from the window. I froze. My breath catching in my throat. The window was right next to the bed, covered by a thin curtain that barely blocked out the light. The sound was soft, almost like someone gently tapping on the glass with their fingernails. I didn't want to look, I didn't want to see what was out there. But the sound continued, persistent, rhythmic, like it was trying to draw me closer, trying to get me to look. I squeezed my eyes shut, pulling the blankets over my head like a child hiding from a monster under the bed. I told myself it wasn't real, that it was just my imagination, that if I stayed still, stayed quiet, it would go away. But the tapping didn't stop. The room felt like a prison, the walls closing in around me. I was trapped. The tapping grew louder, more insistent, and I knew I couldn't just lie there and do nothing. With a trembling hand, I reached out and grabbed the flashlight from the nightstand. I took a deep breath, trying to summon the courage to look, to see what was outside the window. I slowly pulled the blankets down, the flashlight clutched tightly in my hand. I shone the flashlight at the window, the beam casting a faint glow on the thin curtain. I could see a vague shape behind it, something standing just outside the glass, barely visible. My heart pounded in my chest as I reached out with my free hand, gripping the edge of the curtain. I hesitated for just a moment, then yanked it aside, the flashlight beam illuminating the window. There was nothing there, No figure, no face, no sign of anything that could have been making the noise. Just the empty parking lot, the mist swirling in the faint light of the neon sign. I let out a shaky breath, my heart still racing. I was about to close the curtain when I noticed something. Something small, barely visible in the corner of the window. A handprint. Smudged and faint, but unmistakable. My blood ran cold. The handprint was on the inside of the glass. Panic surged through me. I stumbled back from the window, the flashlight slipping from my hand and clattering to the floor. I grabbed my keys, my bag, anything I could reach, and bolted for the door. I didn't care about checking out, didn't care about anything except getting the hell out of there. I fumbled with the door, my hands shaking so badly I could barely turn the knob. Finally, I managed to wrench it open and ran out into the night, the cold air hitting me like a slap in the face. I didn't look back, didn't stop until I was in the car, the engine roaring to life as I tore out of the parking lot, gravel spraying behind me. I drove for hours, the lights of civilization finally bringing some semblance of safety. I found a motel there, one that was clean and well lit, and checked in without a second thought. But even then, I couldn't sleep. I kept seeing that handprint in my mind, kept hearing that soft, rhythmic tapping. I never found out what happened that night. Never went back to that motel to find out who or what was outside my room. I've told a few people about it, but most just laugh it off, say it was probably just my imagination or some prankster messing with me. But I know what I heard, what I saw. And I know that whatever was out there, it wasn't just my imagination. I've spent a lot of time on the road since then, stayed in a lot of motels, but I always make sure to find a place that's well lit, that's near other people. And I never ever stop at some lonely, isolated place in the middle of nowhere, because out there, in the darkness, in the silence, there's something waiting, something that will find you if you're not careful. And once it does, you may never escape.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.